complications. Don't have all the details or latest update, but I do know that they are scheduling. She has a swollen lymph node. They're concerned about causing a lot of pain, discomfort. So they are either today or tomorrow going to attempt to remove that and biopsy it. So as you can imagine, very, very serious concern in her life. And so we want to lift her up before the Lord. I would also say this. Many of you know her situation, her financial situation, and this is going to be a pretty big cost, and she's going to need some assistance in her deductible. And so I'm not, you know me, I don't get up and do this kind of stuff much at all, but I know that she would appreciate if we could help in any way to offset some of those costs. And so as a church, let's bind together, not only in prayer, but in support, emotional help, and if possible, financial support as well. Also, Brother Bill Kellum's not feeling well, sick in body this morning. So a lot of other brothers and sister Graham, they're here, but they're not 100%. They're still struggling with sinuses. And so along with all of that, just want to let you know, we had quite a few people that were scheduled to be a part of our share session tonight. That are not going to be able to. So what we're going to do, instead of trying to have two partial sessions tonight and next week, we're going to move everything to next week. So we will not have a share session tonight. So there will not be a PM activity here at the church tonight. We want to have we have some people that drive some distance. We don't want to come for just a partial session. We want to put it all together and have one full session. So we will do that next Sunday night. We'll have our share session. So no session tonight, but let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, specifically remembering Sister Holly, Brother Bill Kellum. Lord Jesus, we love you. So thankful for an opportunity to be here in your house, Lord, to come to lift you up and magnify your name. Lord, we know that with our brothers and sisters in ill health, God, or Sister Holly Day, God, battling that situation, give the doctors wisdom, God. Lord, lead them, God, in the way that would help, God, and strength. We know ultimately you are the great physician, and we call upon you, God, believing and trusting in your power. God, move upon the hearts and minds of individuals who are brothers and sisters to support her in prayers, God. Emotions that would go see her, visit her, God, to help her, God, with the costs that will be associated with her care. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can come to you, believe and trust in your power to work in every situation and circumstance. God, you are so good. You are so wonderful. Lord, we lift up Sister Day, God, as she's dealing with the care of her husband, Lord, and Brother Day and his failing health, God, and also the concern of her daughter in the hospital. Lord, we pray that you would speak peace and encouragement to Sister Day this morning, God. Lift her up, God. Strengthen her. Brother Bill Kellum, Lord, is he not feeling well in body? I know there are others here. Come, not 100%, but they're here, Lord, and we ask that you would help us, God, that we would lift our voice and praise unto you despite our problems, despite the situations that surround us, Lord, that we would lift you up on high, giving you praise and glory. Glory. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you. We thank you. We praise you. In your precious name, in Jesus' name we pray.
You can just keep standing for a minute and let's open this. Let's open this with praise. We want to invite the Lord's presence in here. So what if we're short a few people this morning? The Lord's Spirit does not depend on how many are here. Yeah. It's on the ones who are here reaching out and praising. So let's feel
like praising, praising Him.
Yeah.
Traveling up.
like praising him this morning, but there are times I do not, to be honest with you, feel like praising him. But I'm determined that no matter what situation I'm in right at that moment, I'm going to praise him. When I feel like praising him and when I don't feel like praising him, he is going to get praised because he deserves it and he is worthy of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can we stand at this time?
Praise the Lord.
Together. I believe this morning, as we were praying in the back before service started here, that God is an intentional God, and he intends to minister to us, not only collectively, to us individually, on some things that you may not have shared with anybody, but your personal burden that you've been carrying with you lately. God wants to minister to you this morning. I believe that without a doubt in Jesus' name. He only said, two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there. And there are some that are out of town on vacation or some that are not feeling well. But I've said this before and I'll say it again. One of the most unforgettable, powerful moments that I felt God manifested in a number of people was just a fraction of the people that we have here today. So if God is able to do that with five or six people in the living room of my house, I can't imagine what he is able to do in just this setting right here, in Jesus' name. So this morning's lesson, we're going to talk about how God hears our prayer. We're going to get right into the lesson text. It's in Isaiah chapter 37, verses 9 through 20. And he heard saying concerning Jerhaka, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak of Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given unto the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and thou shalt be delivered. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, of Gazan, and of Haran, and of Respa, and of the children of Eden, which were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Seraphim, Hena and Iva, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thy eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. If that's all you get out of today, that's more than enough. There is a word of faith spoken here. There is a man that he had his back against the wall, and he prayed to a God. And God not only hears our prayer, but he sees the situation that causes us to pray at that very moment. God is not taken by surprise in anything in our life. And God wants to build somebody's faith here today. Your faith is going to be elevated before you leave here today. I believe that. Can we give God a hand clap of praise and thank him? You can be seated at this time. It was Ricardo Sanchez. He's a Christian singer, a songwriter, and somebody that I have on my Pandora playlist. I play quite often, and this actually happened to him. He was on vacation, and his son Josiah took a head dive, diving into a pool in a shallow end of the water where they were vacationing, and he went head first. And when he went head first, he broke his neck and some things in his back. And at that time, he was waiting to hear from a report from his son. And the words to his song that he wrote at the time is called This Not Over. And it was played over and over in his mind. And he tried to believe the words from God. And the doctors were amazed of the miracle of the healing of Josiah's back, while his neck was broken and his spine was not damaged. And as his healing was remarkable, two of his friends at that time of the accident both saw and had the same dream of an angel rescuing Josiah and assured them that this not over. And the song was released right after that this happened in this man's life. I was in the Missouri District Camp meeting on Friday night, and I heard Jerry Staton preach. And he shared many stories of his years of evangelism. And he told me this one story of a lady that she heard her voice as she was driving, and the voice said, "Put your seat back." Right at the end, she went underneath an 18-wheeler. And at that time, after the accident, people came to see her after she was out of the vehicle. And the people that came up and rushed up to her when she got out of the vehicle asked, "Where is the man that pulled you out of the vehicle?" And she answered, "I was driving alone and nobody was with me." I believe that wasn't the voice that she heard to lay down. She was already praying to God. She already established her prayer life and her prayer walk and talk with God. And God just spoke to her in a simple voice. "Said, just put your seat back. I know what's going to happen. I already see the outcome. And I already sent my angels before you to take care of your situation. Something that looks like a total disaster. I've already taken care of it. I've got this." No matter what situation in your life, God's got your situation. And that's why it's important to come into the house of God every time and lift him up and magnify him, because we need to magnify God so everything in our life is minimized. Because we see things day in and day out, and we're not encouraged all the time when we are in the workplace and we're out in this world. But we have a time to encourage each other, and we have an opportunity for our faith to be raised, for our hands to be raised, for that situation to be down, and for my God to be lifted up. A forward mindset, a mindset that God has heard my prayer. He heard your prayer long ago. And if you haven't seen the outcome yet, hold on. And if you need reassurance, I believe you're going to get that reassurance before you leave here today. Whether it's through a song or a dream or a message from a pastor, God makes his message of hope very clear. In the midst of any trial, he assures us, it's not over until he says it's over. It may look like it's over. The doctor may say, there's nothing more I can do. And God says, this is where I'm going to step in. This is where I take over. This is where I do my best work. When things look hopeless and helpless in my life, those are some of the best moments in our life when we look like this is it. This is over. This is the end of the road. Those are pivotal moments, and those are moments that we can look back and say, I thought it was over for me, and God stepped in and says, you know what, I'm going to take you by the hand, and there's a direction that you haven't even been looking at yet, and I'm going to walk with you around this corner, and you're going to see things, and I had things already planned for you long time ago that I'm going to walk you through. You've been walking in darkness, and you've been trying to hear my voice, but you're going to walk in light, and you're going to see things that you have not seen, because I've been seeing these things from a perspective that you cannot see. And those times when we can only hear his voice and we can't see, that's the times when we just learn to trust in God. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know how to respond to this situation, but I'm going to hear your voice, and I'm going to hold on to your hand until you're going to take me around that corner to where I could finally see what you've been seeing this whole time. I believe, God, even in the midst of our times of when we are hurt and we are struggling, he's got a smile on his face at the whole time. He's saying, you have no idea what's around your corner. You have no idea. I've been seeing things been playing out in your life for years. And all you see is discouragement. All you see is no light at the end of the tunnel. And when you see the light at the end of the tunnel and you begin to walk through that tunnel, you look back and say, God, you've had this the whole time. You've had it the whole time. Forgive me for worrying about it. Forgive me for doubting you. Man, what an awesome relationship with God that we have, that he doesn't get mad at us when we don't see and we get discouraged in those moments. He's like, you just hold on a little bit longer. When you see what I have planned for you, your mind is going to be blown. And when your mind is blown, that's in return, you have a heart of gratitude. And when you offer a heart of gratitude to God, no matter what situation you've been in, that's an offering that he loves. And he says, because you offer that offering of gratitude, you just wait. I got so much more than that for you. God is not one of those things where he just gives you things in small portions. He wants to pour out buckets of it to us. Oh, man, just want to encourage somebody this morning for a few minutes. We're living in a world where threats are real and threats are totally made up. And it's hard to decipher some of these things. Hezekiah's threat was real. But there are some things in our life that we listen to, that we allow ourselves to listen to, that are total distractions, that are totally made up. And I just heard this also this week that Art Wilson, a UPC minister, is working in the United Nations, and he's able to sit on committees. And he said this, that the things that you hear on social media, don't believe them because they are a distraction to the church right now. And if any time we need to not be distracted, it's right now. And those are baits of Satan that he puts in our path and puts in our way to cause us to have an emotional reaction to things. And I want to say this before I even heard this about Art Wilson. I would encourage you, don't turn on CNN or Fox News Sunday morning before you go to church. That is a total distraction. I don't even know how people could watch the roundtable discussions and that and come into the house of the Lord and get their mind on God. It is a very difficult thing to do. And we have the potential to be desensitized also by what we hear in the news, what we see on social media. And if there's any time the church doesn't need to be desensitized, it's right now. We need to be so sensitive to what God is doing. For us to be an effective witness in the kingdom of God, in our surrounding communities, in our families, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that is the act of the enemy for that distraction. And a lot of people are taking the bait. And I'm going to encourage you right now. You wake up Sunday morning, do not turn on CNN and do not turn on Fox News. Because the enemy wants to rob you of something that he wants to impart to you. And you may be thinking of something else. And he'll come in and capture your thought at that moment. And God may sweep in and just be walking through the service. And you totally miss out on what he wanted to give you. So I encourage you, keep your mind and your heart on him. That's just a spiritual discipline. That's something that we all need to do. And we all fall prey to this. We're all human. We all get distracted. We flip the radio on and something comes on, or we see something on social media, and we're all fall prey, and we're all susceptible to these distractions. But it's a spiritual discipline to say, you know what, I am not going to look at that. Maybe I'll just take that app and just delete it. And I'll sign back in. I'll put it back in on my phone in a few days. But, Lord, I want to be sensitive to what you are saying right now. I want to hear your voice. Lord, I have a real need. I am praying to you with a real need. And in response, I want to hear your response to my prayer to you in Jesus' name. There's times, and I could say this personally, when I faced some things that I had no control over in my life, and I had to say, God, I trust you with this situation. And I had to say it over and over again until I convinced myself of what I was saying to God. And there's times when we need to do that. And I believe Hezekiah was one of those. And there's examples in Scripture where he did not just go to the temple of the house of God once, but he went two times. Lord, I need reassurance of some things in my life. I believe, like I said before, you need some reassurance on some things in your life today. You have some questions in your mind, and God wants to answer those questions. And if there's any other gaps in your mind, he wants to say, I want you to just trust me for a minute because I got this outcome. I see this. I'm up here. I see where you're at right now, and I see the other side of the outcome that you have encountered and have been facing. And you are just blinded by it, and you're distracted by it. But I want you to just learn to trust me right now. God wants to say, I want you to trust me in this impossible situation. I want you to trust me when you don't know what's going to happen this time next week. And you're worried about it, and it's consuming your thoughts. He said, give your thoughts to me and just trust me. Trusting God is not just a one-time experience when we come to the altar and pray through on this, and we reminisce about our spiritual birthday. We have to trust God continually. That's part of his desire. That's part of who we are and why he made us. He wants to walk with us and talk with us. That's why he made Adam and Eve. He goes, I want to walk with somebody. I want to talk with somebody. I want somebody that has a free will, somebody that wants to do that, has a desire to want to walk with me and want to talk with me. I have things that I just want to share with them. I want to share my heart. God wants to share his heart with us every day. And he always listens to us when our hearts are heavy. But can I just say, are we allowing ourselves to open our hearts to hear what he has to say? Hallelujah. Collectively and individually, I just need to say this. And we're talking about prayer and Hezekiah. he prayed. He saw this letter of intent to be attacked by Judah, and collective prayer is so important. And I remember about this time last year, it was like right about like exactly this time last year, I saw something happening in my life where it looked like things were just falling into place. And then out of nowhere, I felt like I just saw the rug just being pulled off from under it. And I did not know what to do except for sit there. I could not move. I could not pray. I couldn't do anything. And somebody from this church walked over to my house. Had no idea what was going through my mind at that time. Came over and just put his hand on me and prayed for me. Mike, that was you. I can't even underestimate and stress the importance of the church body. You could be at home, you could be in your car, and God could impress on somebody just to call you right when you needed that phone call. I am so thankful for the church. I'm so thankful when God can hear me when nobody else is around. And he's got this body of hands and feet, these arms and legs, these eyes and ears. This is, I'm gonna respond to that. I heard you. I know right where you are. I heard your prayer. I heard your cry. I see your how you've been distracted. I've seen how you're discouraged. And I am totally aware of it. I'm going to respond to that. God responds to us. But also we're going to see in this lesson, but God responds when the enemy tries to attack too. He sees everything. He sees everything. There is nothing that gets by him. We need to go to the Lord in prayer multiple times. It's for reassurance for us. It's okay. It's not like you're saying to God, I don't have trust in you. It's just reassurance. Lord, I need to be reminded at times that you have this. And I've started to worry about this. I got my focus off of you, and I'm looking at the waves and the storm right now. And I feel like I'm starting to sink. But God, aren't you thankful he's merciful? Aren't you thankful that he's long-suffering and he's patient with us? That he doesn't say, you know what, I am done with you. How long do I have to put up with this? He says, no, I'm going to hold your hand. When you can't see, I just want you to trust me. Hezekiah was faithful with two choices. Should I trust in the Lord or should I seek help from Egypt? His mindset as a king was to protect his people. He knew the power of his God to deliver, and he also had heard of the miraculous stories. But he also knew the reputation of the Assyrians and that their reputation was well-earned. And these two things played out in Hezekiah's mind. There's two things that may play out on our mind as well at times when we're faced in critical times in our life. Am I going to trust God, or am I just going to try to lean on my own understanding? And we all do this. We've all done it. God says, "I'm here. I'm a perfect gentleman. I'm not gonna force myself on you, but I'm gonna let you decide." And I'm so thankful that he does not cast me away when I have made the wrong choices in my life, and I started to lean on my own understanding, and I didn't acknowledge him in all my ways. And those are teachable moments in my life. Just because I did it, and I realized I did wrong, I could repent of that. I could turn away from that and learn. I'm never gonna do that again. And Lord, as uncomfortable as it may be at times, I'm just going to trust you. There's one thing to believe God, and there's another thing to trust him. To trust him means I literally putting my life in your hands. I am not going to worry about what I heard anymore. I release it. It's those times when we release it that he says, okay, now I could do something. I've been holding restraint. God is a God that holds great restraint because he wants to help us so bad at times. God, help us. May it be turning points in our life here today. The Lord, I don't want to lean on my own understanding, but I want to trust you. I want to have that childlike faith. I want to have that jump off a cliff kind of faith where I'm not going to worry about it and just follow after you. You got this. And when we think about it, it's not until sometimes we get on the other end of it that we look back and see how he had everything in place the whole time. But I want to just, I just want to thank him right now. I want to trust him right now and trust him right now. And I've seen it happen too many times. He hasn't failed yet. He has never failed. It's in times of discouragement and fear we may find it difficult to pray and feel stunned at the moment. But I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. I'm so thankful that he hears my prayers. Hezekiah's threat was a legitimate one. The Assyrians had the ability to back up their threats unless God intervened. We often face enemies that are more real than we would like them to be. When the enemy invades our home like a flood, or when we hear the doctors report a cancer in the body, we know that the enemy's potential is there to do harm, and it could be absolutely anything. During these times, we have to pray, and not just when we're under attack, because if we're only praying when we are under attack or in trouble, we are in trouble. I need to maintain a constant prayer life when things are going good and when things are not going good in my life. I need that consistency. God is the ultimate example of consistency and faithfulness, and I need to just pattern my life after him, and I need a pattern of relationship. I need to pattern my prayer life of consistency with him day and night. Hezekiah knew that it wasn't good for Judah, and he said in 37:3, "This is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not enough strength to bring forth." And he knew there was trouble facing Judah, and he hoped the enemy had gone too far when the enemy would compare his God with other gods. And when this is something that I didn't even know until I read this, but when a country would go in and attack another country, they would take their gods and they would go back to their own country and parade them around like ownership. Like, not only did I destroy this country and I spoiled it, but I took their deity or whatever in that country, and they would parade around. And I'm thinking that the enemy of God's people at this time were thinking, I believe we can do this as well. I believe we can take Judah, we can ransack the temple of God, and we can take the belongings, and we're gonna parade around. We're gonna go back to Assyria, and we're gonna have a party. And God says, you know what, you just took this a little too far. You crossed the line. You crossed the line when you accused me of saying that God is going to destroy Judah, and that Judah was gonna be attacked by Assyria. It's never good to put God's words in his mouth. Don't ever do that. That's crossing a line for the enemy, and it's crossing a line for us. I don't want to say any more or any less than what God is having me to say. And we should have that mindset. We should have that be quick to hear and slow to speak mindset. And just sometimes it's good to just pause and let God, Lord, what do you want me to say in this situation? Lord, I need wisdom in this. I didn't expect this phone call. I didn't expect to have this conversation with this person right now. And just take a pause and let just God speak to your spirit. Pray for a heart of wisdom, that he would give you the right words to say and the right temperament to say them in particular times. Hezekiah said, "It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God and reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left." God, hear my situation, hear what I have to say, but hear what the enemy has to say also. And God's response is, I've already heard it. I've already heard it, and I already have plans in place, and you don't have to worry about a thing. I've got this taken care of. I'm so thankful that for a God that can see and hear everything. It's important at times to seek the counsel of God. There is safety in it. We need counsel. We don't need to think that we could just do things on our own. When we need advice on something, it's important. It's biblical to go and get advice from other people, from the man of God, from a woman of God. You need that. There's no time to be isolated. When you become isolated, you start to question God's ability to take care of that situation. It is never good to isolate yourself, because that is the enemy's, where he likes to do his best work. It's very difficult for him to do anything when we are united in one mind and one accord. It's a very powerful thing. Don't ever underestimate it. God spoke to the Hezekiah through the prophet Isaiah in verses 6 and 7. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." The situation wasn't over yet. The enemy still had some threats to make. The enemy wanted to throw a monkey wrench into the situation. And when he did that, when those threats came back after Hezekiah heard a word from the Lord, you know what he did, what his response was? He goes, "I'm going right back to the house of the Lord where I heard it the first time." And God says, "You know what? I'm going to take a proactive approach on this. You don't even have to send messengers to Isaiah. I've already been in action. I'm going to reassure you today, this very day, that I'm taking care of this thing right now, and you don't need to worry about this." I wonder if Hezekiah would have isolated himself and not even wanted to hear what God had to say. That's the trap of isolating yourself. Is you're going to hear more than one voice. And discernment. If you feel distracted by more than one voice and you're not sure if it's God or somebody else, I'd encourage you, don't leave here today until you hear his voice loud and clear, articulated into your spirit, and with confirmation that you have heard from God today. God's response is in verses 12 and 13, "Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezpah? And the children of Eden, which were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharim, Hena and Iva? The ancient battles of the victors, like I said, did not only spoil the city, but they wanted to taunt and they wanted to brag of defeating the enemy, their enemy's God." Hezekiah brought that letter from Assyria, from the enemy, and spread it before the Lord. When I read this for the first time, and this was years ago, being in construction, I went through the Great Recession, and a lot of people went through horrible times. I came here. I'm so thankful I had the key to the church at the time. I threw my bills right here. I said, "God, I don't have enough to pay for these right now." What would happen if we would humble ourselves to the point where we would bring something before the Lord? And God says, "Because you humbled yourself and you laid it before the Lord and you weren't worried about what anybody else thought in here, I'm going to do something about this." It doesn't have to be an actual physical paper or anything. It could be a resume or job application. It could be some news where you feel heaviness because you have a burden for your family. Whatever it may be, "Lord, I'm going to lay it before you. Lord, I'm not going to hold this in anymore. Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my heart's cry. Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't carry this weight anymore. This is too much for me. This burden is too heavy for me. Lord, Lord, I have no other place to go but before your altar. Lord, I have nothing to give you but my heaviness and my hurt and my pain and my sorrow. All I have to give you is something that I can't take care of on my own." He hears that. He sees that, and he's got that. Oh, I need to fast forward here. Sometimes our problems will overwhelm us so much that we can't enter that state of denial. If we could stand at this time. Hezekiah didn't fall prey to that, neither should we. When we hear the taunts of the enemy, receive a letter that expresses a very real problem, we should read it, lay it before the Lord. Our honesty doesn't mean that we lack faith, but expressing our problem before the Lord prevents us from entering into even a worse state of denial, a place where we deny God the opportunity to act on our behalf. God wants to act on our behalf. He wants to react so strongly and so mightily. God, I just need to release this burden, this heaviness to you. I need to leave it right here, right now, today. That same God right here is right here today. And you may be thinking before you came in here, Lord, I just need a reassurance on something. It's right here and right now where you can have it.
Yes.
We just take a moment and find a place to pray before the next session starts. And just, if you feel like you need to lay something for the Lord, I encourage you to do it. It's going to be so refreshing. You're going to walk out of here so much lighter than you ever did before you came in here. He wants to reassure some things in your life, and he wants to impart some things into your spirit today. Can we just be open and receptive to whatever God has for us? In Jesus' name.
Jesus.